Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to episode 137 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. The Sources Say podcast is presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two Lexington locations. That's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now is a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at justicedental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson look forward to seeing you soon. I am your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by the one and only Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
Fantastic. After watching that second half, Kentucky really got things going in the final 20 minutes, and just the thing that just continues to go with this team, Jack, is just the records falling, the crazy statistics that continue to jump off the page. It seems like they do it almost every single game now.
Yeah, we had the first one. Well, I guess Oscar Tshiebwe got his game or season high points, 29 points on 13 of 21 shooting to go with 17 rebounds. Just another unbelievable performance for the big man down low. And then we had Ty Washington finish with 17 points and a Kentucky basketball single game record, 17 assists, breaks John Wall's record set against Hartford back in 2009. Sean, there was a lot of talk before the game about Xavier Wheeler and his health and what Kentucky would do with him out of the game in terms of a playmaking standpoint. And I mean, he really, really fit the billing. Everything that you wanted out of your true number one playmaker, he was able to give you that for the Wildcats tonight.
Yeah, and he had no idea that he was even closing in on a record, right? And then comes down to the final two possessions and get a couple of dunks, capped off by Oscar Tshiebwe's dunk at the end. But the thing that stands out to me is at LSU the other night, I don't think that they had any idea what to do without Xavier Wheeler on the floor. But now they had 3 days of practice to get ready for this. You saw some jitters and some unsure situations in the first half. Guys still figuring that out. I heard Keon Brooks actually say that in the post-game radio show with Tom Leach, that it was a new group, a new lineup. But then you saw that confidence and stuff kind of set in. And ironically enough, when John Wall set that record, he had 11 assists in the first half versus Hartford in 2009. Well, Ty had 11 in the second half and finished with 17. So just an incredible performance. And I think now maybe we look back on this in March, and not saying that Xavier getting hurt was a good thing, but it forced Kentucky's hand to kind of develop another point guard there. And that might be something positive that comes out of this. Even if it is just one game and Xavier's back for Vandy like you hope he is, it forced Kentucky's hand to look at something different, and maybe it gave Ty confidence in that role.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about, is Ty Washington a true number one? Is he just an off-ball type guy? Is he just a shooting guard? Or can he maintain action at the starting point guard role? And that was something that I think there was a little bit of nervousness and hesitation going into this game, because we haven't seen him outside of spot minutes. He's done okay in those spot minutes, but usually that was, you know, just very coupled, you know, 2-3 minutes at a time. Really haven't asked him to take things over the way that he had to tonight, and I thought he fit that role so well. And I think it was a process to start with. You know, I think UK started out 1 of 7 from the field. The shooting wasn't there, and I think there's a lot of gripes online, especially like, oh man, is it another day, another bad shooting performance for the Cats? Is Xavier Wheeler being the straw that serves the drink, the only straw that this team has, or is there somebody else that can do that? And I think there was a little bit of hesitation to start with, but I really think Ty emerged just kind of with that hesitation of, can he be that guy? I think he proved that he could, and not only can he can thrive. I mean, he first opportunity, he breaks John Wall's single game record. So clearly he's doing something right.
Yeah, there's two straws in the drink now.
Yeah.
Because that is definitely a takeaway from this game, and you want to see, there's going to be another point in this season. Let's just say that Xavier does practice on Monday, because John Calipari said that he will be available for Vanderbilt as long as he practices on Monday. So let's just say that he does come back. You're going to have to play without him again at some point for a stretch, whether that be foul trouble, injuries, illness, you just never know. This will be the game that you look back on and say, okay, the Kentucky's done it before. At LSU on the fly, it was very hard. You have your game plan. It's already scripted out, and then it kind of goes haywire, and then Ty goes out. Another guy that played very well tonight, Davion Mintz. And that was another thing, like confidence boost, right? Like that's what we've been waiting for him to do. He missed time there early in the season with an illness, kind of getting his legs back and underneath him. He was forced into action and played a ton of minutes at LSU. Really, really good tonight. Knocked down 5 threes, 5 of 7, 19 points. That is good version of Davion Mintz, and that's good for Kentucky, continuing to build that depth and something off the bench there whenever Xavier does come back.
And it's been kind of disappointing and frustrating and almost sad to an extent, because every time we've talked to Davion, he's been like, man, I was really starting to find my groove before he got sick. I don't know what it was behind the scenes, but there was some talk that it was something even more serious. I think there was some talk like it was mono or something to that effect, where it really wiped him out, just kind of killed his all of his internals, and just really wiped him out as energy and just kind of that physicality. It was really tough for him to kind of crawl back and get back from that point. And he was talking about that, how he didn't have his legs in the games afterward, and you could see, I mean, it's funny, looking at his box score in his game log, I mean, you could really tell when he came back. I mean, Southern University was his first game back. He had 9 points. He followed up 6 points, 6 points, 5 points, 7 points. Really just couldn't get anything to fall in that stretch. 2 of 9, 2 of 7, 1 of 7, 1 of 4. Then he comes back. He's starting to slowly find his groove against Missouri, 10 points. Then he follows it up, High Point, 16 points, and then again, LSU, he had 16 points, and then Georgia again tonight, 19 points. So he's slowly starting to find that that groove and that rhythm. The things that we loved out of Davion last season, we expected to see when he announced his return this year, we're finally starting to see that from the six-year senior. And he talked about that after the game, said, man, finally, we've been waiting for those shots to start falling. The exact quote, finally, right? It felt amazing. It had to pay off. I've been working my tail off every day, every night, getting extra shots. I'm just working tirelessly. This is a guy that you could really tell that it was starting to just nag at him and really starting to hurt him, that he wasn't able to impact the game the way that he knows he's capable of doing. And he clearly showed he is capable of being that guy again tonight.
Yeah, he did. And let's face it, Georgia's not a really good basketball team. They have a lot of flaws. But Kentucky was able to find a way to win, and they played well in the second half. Something that they've done during the stretch of better play over the last 3 to 4 weeks is they've had strong second halves. I know they started quick at LSU the other night and then faded in the final 12. But I think that's a big thing for this team. You get Davion playing well. You got Ty doing some things that are outside of his box, and now expanding his game. It's adding depth and things that you can do as you get into February, March. And the schedule gets really tough now. I mean, they go to Vanderbilt, a team that's playing very well, quad one opportunity, and then they follow it with 3 more quad one opportunities. So the schedule gets tough, and you need guys playing well across the board. Oscar Tshiebwe, dominant again. And I said it on yesterday's podcast that I thought he could have a big game today because Georgia's leading rebounder, averaging 5.9. I didn't think they could keep him off the glass. Well, then he goes out and he gets, how many points was it? 29 points, a point shy of 30, and 3 rebounds shy of 20 rebounds. But just another dominant performance by him. He continues to do his thing now that Tata's doing what he did today. And I can't wait to see where this team goes over the next 4 games, honestly.
Now, it wasn't perfect.
It wasn't.
Because even as impressive as 92 points in the win, 15-point win over an SEC opponent, you're never going to give too many gripes about it. But there was an opportunity for more. And I think a lot of that stemmed from the just absolute wacky, bizarre lineups that we saw Coach Cal throw out there in the first half. And he even kind of doubled down on it a little bit during his post-game interview, talked about how he likes the idea of Jacob Toppin and Keon Brooks playing together. And that's something that I think he is the only one on this planet that thinks that, because we sit there and watch and we go, what the world is going on offensively? There's no spacing. Neither of them can score efficiently. I think they can individually, but alongside one another, the spacing is an issue, and it's just really hard for them to get in their sets because they're just so similar. They're different, but they're very similar just in terms of playing style and things like that. So I really didn't understand that. I guess with Xavier out, you have to kind of play with lineups and kind of do some makeshift things because of that. But I thought it was really clear that when Cal went to his three-guard lineup to open the second half, that things started really opening up, and that spacing and just the pace started coming back, and that's when you started to see the lead extended. Yeah, so I think that's something that we definitely got to get away from moving forward. Stop with the three-big lineup. Stop with Bryce Hopkins at the three. If you're going to put him in as a small ball four, just try to create those mismatches and capitalize on the pace and the spacing. That's when Kentucky plays at its best.
Yeah, absolutely, and then that's where the game really changed. Early in the second half, I'm walking back to my media seat, and the first thing you told me was the three-guard lineup. They went to the three-guard lineup, and then Kentucky starts fast. Next thing you know, stretching that lead out and building that momentum. And when you look at the numbers across the board, you had to play Toppin and Keon a little bit together just so you could rest these guards. Ty Washington, 36-50. Kellen Grady played 38 minutes, and then Davion Mintz played 30 minutes. So all three guards totaled more than 30 minutes. And how about Oscar? 38-44. And yeah. The only time he come out was there at the end, and when Lance Ware goes in for like a minute, and he's right back out. It's like the second time that he did that with Lance, and that's really good to see. This is essentially become a 7-man rotation, mm-hmm. is what it's been. When Xavier gets back, you throw in Jacob Toppin and Mintz off the bench, and they're going to play ideally 7 guys. Bryce Hopkins will play a little bit here and there.
Yeah, Cal even said after the game they asked specifically about Damian Collins and Dante Allen finished with 1 minute, one in the first half, didn't get a single shot up. He wasn't even brought up in the post game. Cal said that he would like to get Damian and Bryce more minutes, but when I guess Dante isn't even in that conversation anymore, which shows kind of where he is in this rotation. But yeah, I mean, you look at the minute distribution, you have 18 for Toppin, 36 for Ty, 29 for Keon, 38 for Kellen, 38 for Oscar, 30 for Mintz, and then from there, 1 for Dante, 6 for Bryce, and then 1 for Lance Ware, and then 0, obviously, for Damian Collins. So I think it's pretty clear that Cal likes what he sees out of the top of his rotation, and the bottom of his rotation is no longer even part of the rotation. I think it's pretty clear that he's moving with 7 players moving forward, and that's going to be that.
How about 70 shot attempts for you,
Cal? I mean, the pace, they scored 92 points.
Yeah, 70 shot attempts, only 7 turnovers. That's going to win you a lot of basketball games. I know the defense and stuff, it's frustrating to watch Georgia come in and score 77 on you, 37 in the first half, 40 in the second. But I think when they're back to full strength, Xavier Wheeler adds a lot on the defensive end, the way he pressures the ball and is a pest in that area. But they're efficient offensively. And that is some of Calipari's best teams have been efficient in both those categories. I'm interested to see where KenPom numbers fall at the end of the night and into tomorrow. But they'll be okay. Like, very good second half. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, and Vandy's looking a lot better than people have kind of given them credit for. Cal said after the game, it's a really unique environment. He's going to have to talk to his freshmen and some of the guys that have never been in that gym before. That it's a whole new ball game to play down at Memorial and in that type of setting, in that environment. So it's definitely going to be a test. Not the you know, major test, not the LSU like we just saw, but it's definitely unique, and Vandy's certainly playing better than I think a lot of people have given him credit for, myself included.
Like I said, it's a quad one opportunity. You saw, like, tonight was a quad four game. You can't overlook it, though, because Alabama lost a quad four at Missouri today. Now, well, that might be a quad three by the end of the year, because I don't know if Missouri's going to stay where they are. But you got to take advantage of these opportunities coming up. You got 4 quad ones in a row. Vandy's a different place to play. No students down there. That's obviously going to help Kentucky and stuff on Tuesday night. But Scottie Pippen Jr., those guys, it'll be a tough game.
Yeah, and I guess we'll wrap it up with this. We saw our first glimpse of Kentucky's newest guard. Shaden Sharp made his Rupp Arena debut. He didn't play. He didn't even suit up, but I got here like 95 minutes before the game started to specifically to see Shaden at Rupp for the first time, and Brad Calipari was actually working with him one-on-one. I think Brad has been designated as the main Shaden guy, I guess, to start with, to get kind of get his legs under him. It was really interesting, Sean. They started with a lot of full court sprints, a lot of running from mid court, jump, coming around a screen, shots off the elbow, going back and forth on the perimeter, right corner three, left corner three, right corner three, left corner three, just a lot of stuff focusing on that conditioning while kind of getting shots up while your legs are tired. Yeah. I think that's something that they're really working on with. But it was just good to see him in this setting, in this environment for the first time, even if it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. They're very clearly getting him ready for something.
That individual work is where it starts. He can't help them until he is what he needs to be. And if that means getting an extra work in today at Rupp Arena, probably the first time he's taken shots in this building, I'm assuming. I don't think he'd been here at all this week before that, but I thought that was good. And you got the video footage and everything of him and doing a lot of different things. It was good to finally see him here. We've talked a lot over the last 2 months, when's Shaden going to arrive? Will he play? We don't know that yet, but we do know that he's here. It was good to see him in UK gear and down there putting in some work and then in the huddle during timeouts. And one thing I think we should say too is Cal had a lot of good stuff to say about Xavier tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Xavier didn't play, he was the one that stood up at the half and spoke about the defensive effort and and stuff like that. I saw him the first one off the bench almost every single time out there greeting Ty and other guys. A lot of good.
Well, shoot, he was out on the floor during the game. He was like another assistant coach for the team. It reminded me of the Tyler Ulis days where he was essentially a fourth coach, on-court coach for the team. It was pretty impressive.
Well, John Calipari almost became one for Georgia tonight. He was two steps away from Tom Crean's coaching box, and pretty funny.
Speaking of that, the pregame handshake, awkward net interaction grab between Tom Crean and Xavier Wheeler, I know that Tom probably meant well, kind of grabbing his old point guard by the neck and, just kind of being playful. But you could very clearly tell that Xavier was very uncomfortable with it. I mean, he is out for this game with a neck injury, and he is day-to-day with a neck injury. So I think he should have better awareness than that, or maybe that was just kind of his goal. He's like, well, screw this guy. He left me. I'm going to, try to extend his day-to-day to make him a week-to-week situation. But I thought it was a funny interaction.
Tom Crean Tom Crean's a good guy. John Calipari always has a lot of good stuff to say. But there are moments that you just think, man, there's some awkward situations there. And I can tell, too. I've been around Tom Crean twice, and both times we're in the men's bathroom at Athens, Georgia. I don't know what are the chances, but that me and him both go into the restroom at the same time. So he just always seems to – but, yeah, he had him by the neck. You could in the steel frame of Wheeler, he's like, eh. Like man, my neck hurts.
Yeah.
Like, let me go.
And he kind of gave this like side eye roll, like, bro, are you serious? Do you not realize the circumstance right now that I am hurt? Like, the reason why I'm in street clothes right now is because my neck is hurt.
At least he didn't get a kiss.
That's usually a Tom Crean special. Thank goodness we didn't see that, because I think we'd have a whole different list of topics to discuss tonight on this show if that were the case.
How about Ty with his secret stuff? Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, that was he put a water bottle up and it said Ty's secret stuff. That was the behind the 17 assist.
Ooh, I do like that. And Davion said he talked about after the game why he kind of is emerging the way he is, and he credited his brand new baby puppy. He said that his puppy is the reason why things are going so well for him and why he's starting to shoot so well lately. So credit Ty's secret stuff and his drink, and credit Davion Mintz's baby puppy.
Yep. Another night full of storylines, right?
It never gets old. All right, Sean, let's get out of here with one final message from our friends at Prize Picks. The NBA season is well underway, and there isn't a better way to enjoy watching your favorite former Wildcats play than by playing daily fantasy with our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the simplest form of real money daily fantasy sports and just pits you against the numbers, whether you're a fantasy sports nut or just a casual fan looking to add some excitement to the games. Prize Picks is the perfect game for you. You simply select 2 to 5 players and predict if they will go over or under their projection. Prize Picks gives you the chance to win 10 times your money for getting 4 or 5 predictions correct. You can have picks across sports as well. With the NFL playoffs quickly approaching, add in some of those players to your picks with their over under projected receiving, rushing, or passing yards. Download the Prize Picks app or visit prizepicks.com and sign up using promo code Pilgrim. That's PILGRIM to get an instant 100% bonus up to $100 on your first deposit. Don't forget, that's the Prize Picks app or prizepicks.com and the code Pilgrim to claim your bonus today and take your viewing of your favorite former Kentucky Stars to the next level. Sean, let's get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at gobigbluecountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
You can find me on Twitter as well at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email at jpilgrim@kentuckysportsradio.com. With that, we'll be back next time for another jam-packed Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.